97.5, The Fanatic.
Oh, yeah, sing the music. 76ers, 3-0. The only undefeated team in the Eastern Conference after their 105-103 victory in Atlanta this evening. What a game. What a performance from the big man who we really didn't even know if Joel Embiid was going to play tonight. But he not only played, he dominated. D-Lineham, Joe Torti, an abbreviated show. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing great, D. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
So the big thing that we were talking about, right, is that the 40-point first quarter, we were wondering, like, is this going to be the one game? Is this going to be like the Sixers defensive blow-up game? And boy, oh boy, was it not. They really tightened down the screws, especially there in the second half.
Sure, because they gave up 40 in the first quarter on some really outstanding shooting by the Atlanta Hawks. True. I must say that part of it. And then only allow 38 in the second half.
Yeah.
So I think what I've learned about this group in the first three games, Joe, is that they can win games in different ways. They've definitely been showed some adversity in each of them. And Joel Embiid not playing in the game against Detroit. Tonight you lose a Mike Scott in the second quarter because of a flagrant two. Tobias struggles to score the basketball. Al Horford, who gave you a lot of points the other night in Detroit, not really an offensive-minded guy tonight, but he does so many other things like the four blocks. So I think you're seeing what the Sixers thought they built, and that is a team that has depth and that they have different guys who can get it done on a given night. And people, for the first time, the question I've been asked so many times, who's going to finish when they need a bucket at the end of the game? What did I say I thought?
You thought it was going to be Joel Embiid.
I did.
Yeah,
and what I say to people is obviously clock matters. Meaning, and they had a little more than 5 seconds.
Right.
But throw the ball into the big man because nobody can stop him, and he's flat out capable of making free throws, which in fact he did to put them up 105-103, and he was 10 of 10 at the line.
And it's kind of refreshing, too, D, because Brett Brown told you what he was going to do. Like,
yeah.
Anytime they were asked about who's the go-to guy, he says Joel Embiid. Like,
yep.
That's the guy that we're going to go to down in the clutch. And he proved it today. It wasn't just lip service. It wasn't a misdirection to set you up for the Tobias Harris quarter three. It was Joel Embiid putting the game away for you in crunch time.
Now, you might have on a different night where somebody has the same length as a Joel Embiid.
Sure.
That was not the case at the end of this game with the Atlanta Hawks. So maybe you won't be able to throw that lob or over people who were trying to front them tonight. You might not be able to get that pass. And then you might be forced to throw it to somebody else. But it was flat out obvious. That was where they were going. He knew it. Atlanta knew it. Man, people were hanging on his arms before they even called the foul. And just to try to stop him even beforehand.
Yeah, well, I mean, the fact is, too, that despite that, it came down to a really good look from Vince Carter at the end of the game. What a way to go down that would have been. My heart was in my chest. I'm sitting there thinking, oh, no, not again. It was great to see that bounce off the rim as well after the Embiid conversions.
Just a couple of stats that stood out to me, Joe. One, turnover's still a problem. Joel had 7, but when you score 36 and pull down the 13 boards, have 5 assists, 3 steals. I don't love those 7 turns. I don't like that he puts the ball on the floor sometimes in traffic. And I don't always love his attempt to pass out of a double team. To me, should be improving at this point. But his other numbers were so good that you do say, okay, we'll take care of those 7 turns at another time.
Right. You don't dismiss it,
right.
But it's like, all right,
based
on what else you did.
We'll give you a little bit of a break there. Last year, he had 29 games where he scored 30 or more, so today's his first one of this season. Keep in mind, again, this was only his second game of the year because he did not play the game in Detroit because of the sprained ankle. Simmons, a little quieter of a night, 13 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. His turns bother me sometimes, too. He had 4. I thought the defense of Matisse Thybulle, excellent. a number that I say they should add to the Sixers stat sheet this year is his deflections.
Sure.
Because, and usually they'll tweet it out because it isn't on the stat sheet. He'll have a good number. He had 5 in the first game. I don't know what he had in Detroit, but it's going to be a number that they'll constantly be telling you because he should get some kind of credit so you understand how disruptive this young kid is defensively.
Well, we always talked about it with Robert Covington, right, as being a big-time strength in his game, in particular patrolling the passing lanes. And obviously that's going to be what we look at as well for Thybulle. But the thing that I've noticed right away, Dean, I'm sure it's jumped out to you as well, on the ball, he's ready to go and probably more ready to go than a lot of these other guys we've talked about as being elite-level perimeter defenders.
And his footwork is quicker than Robert Covington's. His mindset is comparable, but I would say his footwork is quicker. For a young kid, I am impressed with his defense. And you know what? Even if he hedges and he misses, his recovery is so good. Never gives up on a play. I enjoy it. And I liked that Brett Brown gave him a green light to shoot that outside shot. He took 7 threes tonight, made 2 of them. But I understand where Brett's coming from. He must take them to keep these defenses honest. 3-point shot the other night for them in Detroit ends up being 38% for the team. Tonight, not so good again. So it's kind of, I think we're going to ride this wave. Up and down it will go. Tonight, 11 for 41, which included Tobias being 1 of 9.
Yeah. What do you make of what he's put together in the early going, right? I mean, like, you obviously are happy with the team's success, but you're looking at a guy that you paid all the money to, and it's a guy who you had to get at that max level in order to get him back in the building, but he hasn't been overwhelming, like a max-level player at this point.
I thought the other night in Detroit, especially in the third quarter, he had 16 of his 29 when they really needed him to turn it on. And again, I mentioned that in all these games, they have definitely faced adversity and they've had to come back from being down. And in these last two, obviously on the road. So I thought he actually was great in Detroit when he scored the 29 and had 15 boards. And I will say, he was 4 of 15 when you needed a bucket with 42 seconds to play, and you get it to him on the kind of the hash mark right there on the lane, and he knocks it down to give you that 103-100 lead, like I said, with 42 seconds to go. So I know the dollar tag will always be associated with him right now, but I don't know that you're going to be able to get the same out of him. I hope his outside shooting could become more consistent as opposed to last year. I think we saw this, you know, where he was very good the other night.
Sure.
And now he comes out and he's 1 of 9 from 3. If that's the case, then I don't mind. Put it on the floor. Take it to the rim. I don't need you shooting 9 threes if you don't have it, if you're not feeling it.
Well, and especially because they have everything else, right? You have Embiid cooking. Al Horford could pick up the offensive slack on any given night. Ben Simmons, obviously, when he's aggressive, can get to the rim more effectively than anybody else. Giving Tobias Harris the max deal is almost a luxury piece that you can afford when you're the Sixers and thinking you're going to go through the Eastern Conference.
And it was the market value at the time.
Yes.
You know, right? I mean, like I said, this team right now is the only undefeated team in the Eastern Conference. They've played, I think, you know, pretty good basketball for stretches in all 3 of these games.
Sure.
And I think you know that every night, provided you have the effort, which I believe they will, they're going to be in these games, period, on the road or at home, which is a big difference. Because I thought last year, I remember saying, you know, you have to get to that time, and it was way late in the season, where you're a 500 team at least on the road. Because the teams that play late into the spring are 500 on the road or better. That's just truth of the matter. So to see them play, you know, on the road and play good basketball and get 2 W's the first time out, I think is an encouraging sign. By the way, I want to remind people that tomorrow morning, Coach Brett Brown is going to join the morning team at 9:30 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Nice.
Yeah. Brett Brown.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the plays that went down at the end of this game. 610-632-0975. We invite you to join the conversation. We can talk about your 76ers who improved to 3-0 this evening behind the 105-103 victory. I should mention, Trae Young, fun to watch, is he not?
Oh, my gosh. He is electric.
I love watching this guy.
Electric.
He finished with 25 points. He, too, like Embiid, had seven turns. And I think some of that is just two young guys who are still growing, but they're the focal point of each of their team's offense, play.
Right.
They have the ball in their hands a lot. So some of those turnovers, and it's the early part of the season.
Well, the other thing, D, at least to me, is that I didn't know for sure that his offensive production was going to be this mature, this young. You know what I mean? Like
pun intended.
Yeah, exactly. No pun intended. But like you saw what he could do at Oklahoma.
Yes.
And then you saw the second half of the season. You're like, hey, he's kind of falling off a little bit. Oklahoma's falling off a little bit. How's he going to respond in the NBA? He's answered a lot of those questions in a hurry.
I mean, just for people who don't know, he had 38 on first night out, 39 his second night out, and he had 25 tonight. So the kid can score. I didn't know. I thought maybe size-wise, he'd have a tougher time getting a shot off.
Sure.
That's not the case, at least not through these first three games.
Yeah, we're realizing that he's been undersized the whole time,
right.
And that he's been having to adjust for a long time.
And he's figured it out.
Exactly.
This is not, his first rodeo. Let's check in with Chris in Miami. Chris, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi, how you guys doing tonight?
Doing all right. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm really happy we got this win.
Yes.
The only thing is, I'm not really concerned about Harris. I know he's aggressive, so his shots are going to fall in. The only guy I'm concerned about is Ben Simmons. I feel like, I don't know if you guys saw this, but I feel like he really did not care to take at least one shot. And I think the Hawks were sagging off him a lot. And I think, I don't know, do you find that concerning at all? Because I feel like if anything, this was the game for him to do it, because Harris wasn't playing good. You had a guy that came out. Horford wasn't really shooting that well. I feel like he should have tried. And I don't
meaning take an outside shot?
Right, yes. Or at least hit three, because every time he would have the ball, they would give him a lot of space. And they were hogging the whole front court. I don't know. I don't know if you guys saw the same thing.
No, I mean, well, I'll tell you this. One of the things with Ben, and he's done it in each of the first two games, and he did it again tonight. I think he made a concerted effort to attack the paint right from the get-go, and that was obvious to me. And as long as he can get to the paint and get to the rim, then I'm okay with his shot selection. He ends up being 6 of 11 from the floor. I think he had probably, I know the other night he had a jump hook that he missed. I didn't see him pull up for a jumper per se, but there were a couple that were away from the basket that he sometimes looks like he's a little out of control. But to me, I mean, it's going to come. I just tell people he's not going to do it on our watch. He's going to do it when he feels like it's a good shot.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's just a little frustrating because, like, I feel like it's really mental. But I really hope he gets over it because he's a special player.
Yeah, I mean, you do have enough other guys that can take and make outside shots. Now, it will be a problem if you need him on the court at the end of a game.
Right.
But as you saw, you know, he's the guy who's going to take the ball out of bounds for you at the end of the game, which is also good because he's 6'11", and 9 times out of 10, he can see over whoever's, you know, defending the out-of-bounds play.
Yep. All right, thank you, guys.
Yep, you got it. Thanks,
all right,
Chris.
To me, D, at least he built up some equity when he talked about, like, his last answer about
about
a developing part of his game, and it's not something that he's confident in right now, and he has other strengths. Like, to me, that's a satisfactory enough answer that, like, yeah, eventually we'd like to see it, but I'm not going to be asking about it every game. With all due respect to Chris, obviously, because he pointed out this would be an interesting game to do it, but I thought he was aggressive, especially in the first half.
Yeah, he definitely, you could tell he's trying to get to the paint. And I think that there's a reason that Brett Brown is encouraging a Matisse Thybulle to put up those outside three-pointers. One, Matisse probably has a better three-point shot than Ben Simmons at this stage of the career.
Agreed.
Even though he's a rookie, you can just tell it's a better shot. So that keeps defense is honest and allows Ben. Now, the other thing I probably should have said to Chris, they did post Ben a couple of times early too, and I don't care who it is. Post Joel, post Ben, post Tobias. But post these guys to start games just because 9 times out of 10, the opposition does not have the length to handle at least one of those has got to be a mismatch.
Well, and two of the guys, right, Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid, both guys who are plus free throw shooters. Ben Simmons, when you get him involved early on, you tend to see him more engaged rather than trying to get him going after halftime in the third quarter. So,
sure.
Either way, it's a great strategy to try to post these guys.
And to me, I think the one thing we can say we've seen in Ben that is different, one, handling the conversation about his shot much, much better. And the other, he is definitely a more out-of-the-gate, assertive guy on a consistent basis.
Sure.
He could do it for you in that Brooklyn game last year when you needed it after you had lost the first game, you know, and people are really mad and upset that you were giving away the home court advantage right
sure.
away. Then he comes out the next game and it's assertive Ben. You know, I like that we've seen assertive Ben in each of the first three games of this season. It's not forced. It looks good. And I'll wait and be patient with whatever he sees or deems the time to take those outside shots.
Well, plus we've seen a lot of guys, right? And it's not just Ben. A lot of people around the league are taking the time to kind of warm up and like get used to playing like extended minutes again, 40 minutes a
sure.
night and things like that. We're seeing it around the league. Not everybody's James Harden going for 50 points in the preseason because you're ready to go. I mean, you're seeing a lot of guys, even like new guys, Kyrie Irving, who's excited to impress early on. Not every game is like a dynamo
no.
offense.
No.
So.
By the way, for me personally, to see Embiid's 36, because I had said on opening night, this guy should get 40. Who can stop this guy? He didn't get 40 opening
Really disappointing night tonight. Yeah, you need more from Embiid. That was pretty bad.
But the number of times that he will be able to take the floor and dominate the opposition's big men, it's just going to happen more and more. I think there's so much you can tell. And I thought his conditioning looked pretty good.
I thought so, too.
I really did. I thought he was getting up and down. You know, there's those times that he tends to, a couple times a game
save
where
it.
He likes, yeah, save it, go three-point line to three-point line. But by and large, I thought his conditioning looked good. He obviously didn't look hobbled by the ankle. And, I mean, like the one dunk, how he can dominate. He just comes at you. What can you do?
It's insanity. It really is.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do.
You felt for Collins a little bit. You're
a
like,
little bit.
You're like, this guy's doing everything he can, but holy smokes, that guy's a monster.
And then Alex Len had nothing he could do with him.
Right.
The rookie came in, this is just tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be a lot of nights.
He's going to do this to a lot
of
people.
Now, on Wednesday, that could be a different story. I thought he owned Karl Anthony Towns last year in the head-to-head matchups with Minnesota, which is only two a year.
Yep.
Karl Anthony Towns playing excellent basketball coming in. He's averaging 32 points and 13.5 rebounds himself. He in the past has gotten into foul trouble with Embiid. I also think the way the game's been called in the early going of this season across the board, a lot of fouls.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of fouls. So we'll see. He might be able to get Cat in foul trouble on Wednesday night down there at the center. Let's check in with Charles on the cell. Charles, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
How you doing, Dave? How you doing, Joe?
Hey, Charles.
Guys, enjoy hearing it together. Let me say this. Joel Embiid, for most part, will always be the best player on the floor most nights he goes out there.
Yep.
And he'll own Karl Anthony Towns again on Wednesday like he usually does. Yeah, I know you worry about his turnovers a little bit. I don't, because that's how great a player Joel Embiid is. So I'll live with his turnovers because he's that great a player. Now, as for the Sixers, they gave you a little insight tonight, a little glimpse into the future of why they're going to win the East and why they're going to be world champions. You see, this is a game they would have lost last year. But because of their defense, they can clamp down on you better now. Like a guy like Trae Young went off on the Sixers all last year. He went off early tonight. But in the end, the Sixers will clamp down on you. They clamp down on Trae Young in the second half. When that defense has to clamp down, they're going to be able to do it. They have the talent to do it. And even a guy like Tobias Harris is playing good defense. Now, Tobias struggled with the shooting tonight. And I heard you mentioned, Joe, you were a little worried about Tobias Harris. I don't worry about Tobias Harris because Tobias Harris is a pure scorer. It's going to be nice that the ball doesn't fall in. But the fact is, he's bought into the team mentality. The disciple is going to be phenomenal. They're deeper than last year. They play way better defense than last year, and that's why they're going to be in the finals in June, and I think beating the Clippers in the finals in June is my prediction. So,
All right, Charles. Well, that's very optimistic, and you have every reason to be as optimistic
as
you are.
Early going, it looks great. Charles, thanks, man. Appreciate it. The thing that I look at too, right, is when I watch this team. I thought the same thing as Charles, is that they lose this game probably last year because they make a little run in the second half after they're getting, you know, fairly easily handled in the first quarter, especially on the defensive end. They're just not as young as they were last year. And I know that they weren't an incredibly young team last year, but they are just veteran laden at a lot of important positions now.
Well, let me think about this. Yeah. I think when you're saying the veteran positions, I think one of the biggest factors is your two young guys look more mature and more like veteran leaders.
Agreed.
In Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. So I think it starts there. And then, because by the time you last year at the back end, Mike Scott was here, James Ennis was here.
Yes.
Right?
True.
You are playing a rookie in your top seven for sure.
You are. That's true.
In Thibel. And Kyle O'Quinn, I would put him on, you know,
borderline veteran status. Yeah,
no,
right?
He's definitely a veteran. But I'm thinking, like, who did you have last year? Would Amir go in there? I guess if you had to play a Bolden.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of those. But so you do have a little more depth.
And
I agree with that.
Horford makes a huge difference, right?
Well, Horford's, yeah.
I mean,
that's a no brainer. But
to
me,
point,
that's the equivalent of Jimmy Butler, meaning age veteran wise.
But I think that Horford probably has, and you'd be able to speak to this better than I would, he probably has a more buoying effect on Embiid and Simmons in terms of how they handle themselves versus a Jimmy Butler, right?
I would say that he has a greater impact on Embiid because Embiid's never really had a big man that he can talk to in the locker room that has the status that Horford has. I mean, the guy's an all-star.
Well, and head-to-head, he handled him. So, like, that's
head-to-head, he handled him, yes. But I would say this. I thought Jimmy Butler was very good for Simmons, especially when he first came last year.
Sure.
To challenge him, say, you know, hey, dude, you can own this. You can own being a two-way player in this league. You should be a first-team All-NBA. So I think from that standpoint, but I understand what you're saying. I could even say, remember a play in the beginning of tonight's game where now it was a foul on the Sixers and they're coming down to Atlanta shooting free throws and you can read Horford's lips and he's saying, you know, you guys got to figure this out. You got to figure that out. Right? So talking about communication.
Sure.
And I think those kinds of things are just, you know, you'll continue to see the value of Al Horford that does not necessarily show up on a stat sheet, but you will watch and the eye test will tell you his value to this team. 610-632-0975. We're talking Sixers because they were victorious for a third time this season, 105-103. Tonight in Atlanta. We're coming back. He's Joe Torti. I'm D. Lineham, and you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Sixers victorious tonight, 105-103. They improved to 3-0 on the season. They were led by the big fella, Joel Embiid, who finished with 36 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. I believe one block. I didn't write the block.
Did have a block.
Yes. He had one block and 7 turners. So, and the Sixers, they look good, especially in the second half. Joe Torti, D. Lineham here with you. Joe, I think it's Lineham and Torti after dark. I just realized.
Yeah, we're officially there.
We started after dark.
Well, listen, when the game, there was an ejection, there's an injury, there's coaches' challenges.
Yeah, I know, the new coaches' challenges, right?
Yeah, what'd you think of that?
So I know that people keep putting on Twitter, you know, why would somebody use it in the first half? I think people are just trying to find situations to use it, especially in these early goings, to see what kinds of plays will be the best play to try it. I understand where people say keep it for the end of the game if there's a close call. And in this case, you have a game where you win by two.
Right.
I know what people are saying. I don't think it's used the same way as it is in football, first of all.
Well, plus they're still figuring it out, right? What's going to fly and what's not going to fly. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
I know the one that was, well, Brett didn't win his, which was that Ben Simmons was called for an offensive foul. And
yes.
He thought it would, you know, to me, there was not enough evidence to overturn it if, in fact, we're looking for that. So, but, you know, it's interesting. I'll give it that. You know, it's the, everybody wants to do what the other guy's doing. And football already has it. So now basketball. And I've seen it used in the G League. I would like it to move along a little quicker when they do the challenge. Seems a little slow.
Well, that's what I was noticing, too, is that, like, I do wonder how much it's going to affect the pace of the play. And, of course, the other side of it that you just alluded to, D, is that I think a lot of coaches are worried that they're going to go 82 games and challenge, like, 10 calls. You know,
yeah.
So I think they
right.
want to try to get them in when
yeah,
they can get them
exactly.
in just to see, you
right.
know, if they can change something up. So,
and my thing is, when you use it, if you find a time, that possession goes your way. I mean, that can make an impact on the game because now at the end of the game, maybe you have two extra points that you didn't have if you hadn't already used
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And it speaks to something that people say all the time where it's like, yeah, crunch time matters, but every point also matters
sure.
in the first quarter, the second quarter. They count just the same on the scoreboard as in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. So I thought this was a quality win. I think people will realize as the season rolls along that Atlanta is an improved team. They were improved last year. They gave the Sixers good games last year. They are coached by former Sixer assistant Lloyd Pierce. Trae Young, what a phenomenal player. They got Hunter and Reddish that are nice young players as
yeah.
well. I think that you can tell they're well coached because of the spacing that they have on the floor. So for the Sixers to go in there and beat them on Atlanta's home court, to stay undefeated, I thought was a really good effort. Again, the game was not perfect. Atlanta definitely took a lead, and the Sixers got it back. And then I felt like, by the way, two guys who didn't give you a ton offensively were Tobias Harris, who struggled shooting with his, ended up being 5 of 16.
Right.
And Al Horford just didn't take a lot of shots. But Horford's the one who made two free throws with 2 minutes to play that gave you the 101-100 lead. And Tobias, as I mentioned before, made the bucket with 42 seconds to put you up three. And then again, the big fella to be able to knock down his free throws with 5 seconds to go up two was big.
Well, the good thing about Horford, and it's something that stood out immediately in these first three games, is that he's not one of those guys who needs, like, good morning possessions. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Where it's like you got to work him into the rhythm. When he is required and it's necessary for him to step up and give you something, he is ready to do that. And we've seen, both on the Sixers and on other teams, guys who need to be worked their way in and need to hit a couple of shots, see a couple go down before they can really get into the flow. Like you said, Horford, not a big part of the offensive game plan today, but didn't have to be, and he was ready to go when duty called. So it was a big-time win. And I would say, you know, early on, it's hard to say that it's like a season-defining win or anything like that, but it does give you a glimpse into what the Sixers season looks like and the variety of different ways they can get it.
Sure. Done. And to your point, Horford had 4 field goal attempts tonight.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, that's okay. There were other guys who had it going on. I thought even some of the guys coming off the bench, now they lose Mike Scott in that second quarter. He only gives you 9 minutes. And this is a guy who on the other night in Detroit made 5 3-pointers. So you're thinking, you know, as they were struggling from downtown, this guy's going to be able to be the one who pulls you out of that bad outside shooting. He's not available, but I think Shake gave you some good shots. Thibault put up shots and actually made 2 from outside. So you had other bench guys who did deliver for you. And I think to your point, Joe, that you're going to see that the depth of this team is pretty strong.
Yeah, considerably more impressive depth-wise than they were last year at this time when we talked about them having a great starting 5. But if you had to go to the bench, and in particular when you only had 2 guys left out there, You saw a big time difference, big time drop.
And I like the depth, especially at the center position, because now tonight Embiid was a beast, but he did his damage in less minutes than he scored points.
Yeah, that's efficiency right there.
Exactly. All right, let's check in with Evan and Manny Young. Evan, how are you? Thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, D, how you doing?
Doing all right.
Great win by the Sixers. I love watching them. I didn't catch the first half, but watching the second half, it was huge. And I was actually surprised. I was telling my roommates I was watching with them. When they were down at the end of the fourth, I was like, I don't know if they would be able to pull it back because I don't think they can shoot their way out of a hole. But in that last 5 minutes, besides the tip-in, they didn't let in any field goals, which I thought was huge down the stretch to get them that comeback win.
Yeah, defensively, they are they're going to be elite. They're going to be one of the best defensive teams in the league, and you should be when you have a rim protector like Joel Embiid.
Yeah, and then I thought, besides Scott going down, I thought actually Shake going down was big, too, because he was giving some solid minutes off the bench, and him and Scott were shooting pretty good off the bench, so losing that shooting I thought was going to cost them, but they found a way to get out of it.
Yeah, I'll be interested in hoping that, because you, Joe, when we saw the Shake play, it kind of hurt the second time we saw it, right?
It looked kind of like harmless the first time, and then you saw the slow motion replay. And eesh, kind of cringy.
But I would agree with you, Evan. And I said I thought he was going to get minutes before Neto and Trey Burke both, because of his size, and there is a calmness and a poise to that kid. And I think he can play both guard positions. And so I'm not surprised that they're going to him coming off the bench. And obviously, when you didn't have Mike Scott, you did need him tonight.
Yeah, and then one point about Joe, too. I mean, coming out off a game, off an injury, and the drop of 36 is huge. I still personally think he's taken too many threes, but the biggest thing I thought was huge was that 10 for 10 from the stripe. I mean, that's just huge, especially down the stripe.
Yep, and Evan, I appreciate the phone call. That's kind of, he took six threes tonight. He was 2 of 6. I know what people are saying. Like, there was one that I didn't like when he kind of was hanging out there. He could have taken the guy off the dribble. But
right.
I can't have it both ways, because I often say I don't like when he's more than two dribbles away from the basket putting it on the floor. So, to me, either give it up and then get closer to the basket and ask for it back. Or, you know, maybe you live with a couple of those threes are not my favorites.
Well, I mean, and you're going to get those too when you have some of those possessions where you're talking about Embiid playing 3-point line to 3-point line.
Sure.
I think that shot in particular came during one of those
it
stretches. And he's like, yeah, let's just see what happens if I do this.
You know how we talk about the guy who's like leaning over, yanking on his shorts?
Yes.
For Embiid, it's if he's thinking about that three, it's really him contemplating, am I getting enough extra breaths here as he stands there? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like every one-on-one game that you've ever played. The first 6 points to 11, everybody's going all out. And then trying to get from 7 to 11, everyone's putting up threes.
Right, exactly.
Everyone's pulling up. Nobody's trying to get to the hole anymore.
I will say this. I want to look at, I'll tune into a national show tomorrow morning, because I want to hear what they say about Embiid, because there's been a lot of conversations about possibilities of who could win the MVP in this league, and Embiid doesn't get as much love as I think he will. Now, I understand, because he doesn't stay on the court or hasn't been able to, that's an issue minds. And then second game of the year, he has a rolled ankle, and so, you know, again, he quickly disappears from the conversation. But tomorrow, I mean, people have to acknowledge what this guy looks like when he's on the court.
Well, and part of it, D, to me, and it's unfair, but it's the big guys don't sell sneakers thing, where like it's not as interesting or trendy to have somebody Embiid.
Except for, I say, look at the way he does it.
I agree.
And I should say to people, he was 12 of 19 from the floor and 10 of 10 at the foul line, in case you missed what we said statistically, what this guy is doing. And then on top of that, who he allows them to be defensively, they have excellent perimeter defenders, but those guys can now gamble a little bit more, and they are improved in that regard.
There's no doubt.
No doubt. But who they are allowed to be because of him back there, it's impressive.
Yeah, he plays a huge role in it, no doubt about it. And you could see when he's operating at his best, he demands so much attention that everything gets opened up for the likes of Josh Richardson, for example.
I can't wait. Well, by the way, this first time since 2013-14 They've won their first three games of the season. Small sample, so we'll just go with it. The last time they started 4-0, which will be their opportunity when they entertain Minnesota at the center on Wednesday, was the 2000-2001 season.
Ah.
And that season, they jumped out to a 10-0 start. So that'll be the number that you can focus on.
Now look out.
Keep in mind, after Wednesday, their next four are out west.
Right.
Four in a row. So
traveling.
A little bit of a challenge to start the season. Seven of their first 10 are on the road.
But we talked about how important it is to win those road games.
Exactly.
They're showing it early.
Showing it, and I love it. 610-632-0975. Sit tight, Mitch. You're up first on the other side. Joe Torti, D-line him. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
There is one undefeated team left in the Eastern Conference, and it is the Philadelphia 76ers. Sixers defeated the Atlanta Hawks 105-103 a short while ago down in Atlanta. They will come home to play the Minnesota Timberwolves Wednesday at the Wells Fargo Center. And if you go and look at the NBA leaders, Joe Torti, D-Line, with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic, Joel Embiid is not the leading scorer tonight. That belongs to James Harden, who had 40. Embiid had 36. But I'm so sorry. I'm getting the coughing.
I'm the one who's supposed to be sick, D. What's going on here? You're allergic to me?
I am.
Okay.
So I said, well, his 10 for 10 free throws, that's got to be up there. Nope.
Harden had like 20, I'll bet.
21.
Oh, jeez.
21 made free throws by James Harden.
I'm sorry. I respect it.
Unbelievable. But
I don't like it.
He did edge Harden in fantasy points, which this doesn't mean anything to me because I don't do basketball fantasy.
Yeah, and league scoring systems are different.
Yeah, exactly. So he's the leader in that category. But he's hedging with James Harden tonight.
Isn't it strange how Embiid gets like way up for certain matchups, right? Where we talked about Karl Anthony Towns. I've well documented, I'm not the first one. He talks about Anthony Davis just wants no part of ever playing Joel Embiid.
No.
And then like
Drummond.
And then Andre Drummond. Yeah. Like that's the other one.
That was kind of a little bit of the disappointment when he didn't play the other night.
Yeah, I wanted to hear him talk about real estate in his head
exactly.
And all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
Let's check in with Mitch in Phoenix. Mitch, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi, D. Hi, Joe. How you guys doing?
Hi, Mitch.
All right.
I'm not buying into the Sixers yet. D, you watched a lot of basketball over the years. Their offense is very herky-jerky. It is not a smooth offense. And I'm really disappointed in Ben Simmons. There is no change from him from last year and the year before. I mean, there was a point in that game with 50 seconds left. He got the ball about 10 feet out. He turned around and realized he was wide open instead of shooting, and he gave it out to somebody, you know, close to the three-point line. I'm just not buying in that.
Well, I think the only thing I would disagree with you, Mitch, is that he's been incredibly assertive, and he's been able to get to the paint, get to the rim. Because he's been able to do that, I don't think he has hurt you yet in terms of his shot selection. I understand that if he can't do that, and now he is wide open outside all by himself, can't get to the paint, that could hurt you, but that has not been the case yet in the first three games, in my opinion.
Well, I respect your opinion, but I see absolutely no change in his way of playing ball from last year to this year. Now, I just don't. He's still the same slasher.
He's
still the same guy that's looking for the slam. And lots of times, if you notice, Steve, he gets lost under that basket. Sometimes he doesn't realize like what position he's really in as far as where he's at in the perimeter of the area of the basket. And then he starts to panic and gives the ball up.
Well, one thing I think you would agree with us that he has people to give it up to this year. I do think that when you say their offense is herky-jerky, I would say that they're half-court, but they do generate a lot of offense from their defense, and they really, really are solid defensively.
But don't you think they made it way too hard tonight as far as beating the Atlanta Hawks?
Well, the Hawks, I appreciate the phone call, Mitch. The Hawks came out shooting on fire.
Yeah.
On fire.
40 points in the first quarter.
Yeah, I mean, like, and some tough three-pointers that were contested.
And I can hear Brett Brown now, like in between the first and second quarters, saying they're not going to shoot like that forever. Just keep contesting.
Right.
And then that actually is what happened.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying they were perfect, Mitch, but I do think that there was a lot more positive things that happened. And if the first thing that you take away from that game is thinking Ben Simmons was bad, which, by the way, he had 13, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. I'm not sure that's what I walk away. I see a team that held Atlanta to only 38 points in the second half after giving up 40 in that first quarter to some sharp shooting. So let's check in with Ralph in Las Vegas. Ralph, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
You're welcome, D. To add to what Mitch just said, game was tied under a minute, and Richardson brought the ball up instead of...
Yeah, instead of Ben?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know. It doesn't... I'd have to ask Brett if that was by design because you don't want them to foul Ben. That's a possibility. Or, you know, the two of them, he does play back a point. So if the situation was, I'd have to remember if that came off of a rebound. I don't know the exact situation.
Yeah.
But I know, but I do understand, yes, the ball was in Josh's hands.
Right. I think it might have been even after a timeout. So, you know, I mean, hey, listen, do I want Ben or do I not want Ben? I want Ben.
Sure.
Okay. I think no doubt he's going to get better and better, you know. But to expect him to shoot is it's kind of hard to see right now, you know?
Yeah. I mean, as I said, it's not going to be on our timeline. It's going to be when he decides. And
right. And
until until we have a situation where he's hurting the team, it's hard. I understand that you don't see any difference, and we haven't seen any difference.
No, he's been the same player.
Right.
But like,
he's doing, but it's not hurting you yet because he has been able to get to the rim.
Yeah, I agree with you that he's definitely more assertive, more physical.
Yep.
At least out of the gate, and it was good to see against Boston. But and I hope that continues.
All right. Well,
Ralph, thanks.
We'll
man.
See, Ralph. You know, I think I understand he looks a lot like he used to look.
Yeah, but who else do we ask this about? Like, what other all-star are you like, yeah, I mean, I'm really disappointed by you not adding this element to your game that you've never shown us that you're going to do ever.
Well, I think it's concern for what's going to happen down the road or in a tight game like this. It could have been costly.
It could have been costly.
Yeah. Mike, let's check in with you on the cell. Thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, sorry about that, D. Well, yeah, when you make that point about what other all-star hasn't shot the ball? And I'm not saying Ben didn't play he didn't play bad. I'm not saying he played bad, but he hasn't. I can't believe the guy mentioned that's exactly what I was going to say. He doesn't shoot. He will not shoot outside the paint. That's what everybody's frustrated. I'm frustrated about.
Yeah, my point is like I don't like guys. It doesn't matter if it's Ben Simmons or Tobias Harris or anybody. I don't want you to force a shot that's unnecessary. And to me, there hasn't been a time where he hasn't been able to get a better shot in these first three games. So I don't want him just to go shoot a three-pointer because he has to.
I'm not talking about a three-pointer. How about a mid-range game? How about a pull-up jump shot like Russell Westbrook? Come flying down the court, come to a jump stop, and hit a jump, or just take a jump shot.
I hear you.
He won't even attempt it. He's so scared of failure, he won't even try it.
Well, he took a 12-footer the other night in Detroit. I saw it.
Okay, 1 in 3 games.
Okay, Mike, yeah.
It was zero, like, yeah. for his career.
I get the frustration.
I'm talking about a 3-point. I'm talking about a mid-range.
Mike, they've won three games. He's played
Detroit, Atlanta, and Boston. So when what's going to, like you say, it's on his time. What's his time? When they play Milwaukee in game six, he's finally going to take a jump shot?
Unfortunately, that
makes... Brett Brown didn't make him take jump shots. Everybody's going to blame him because it was poor coaching because we let it all season. Nothing's going to change. He didn't do it in college. He hasn't done it now. The guy is God-gifted. He's probably the second-best athlete in the NBA, but he just won't shoot.
Well, then, I appreciate the phone call, Mike. You're right. It's hard to believe, though, that in the three... And I get it, you know... You can't pick who you start the season, but you did just win two road games. You're 3-0. You had a pretty dominating performance from your big man. And I would say that by and large, as a group, you did pretty well, especially because you're built with defense. And that's what you brought to the table for sure in that second half.
I love this season, this city. I really do. 3-0, and everything's a problem.
Hey,
I love it.
105-103 was the victory for the Sixers. Brett Brown will be with the morning squad tomorrow morning at 9:30.
Yes.
So I hope everybody calls in and asks him about Ben's shot.
Yeah, I'm sure that he'll be happy with the first like three things that they talk. Yeah, nice 3-0 start. But when's Ben Simmons going to start shooting every coach's favorite, a 16-foot jumper? When's that going to start happening?
I don't know. I don't know. Joe, this has been fun in our short time together on this Monday.
Very abbreviated.
I really do hope you feel a little better.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. You know what? I just need the next, like, elongated Lineman Torty after dark. I think that's what I need to get back on the right track here.
And we thank Dylan for, like, squeezing in some breaks there and getting the phone calls, everything behind the glass. So, Dylan, thanks very much. Joe, you'll be back tomorrow, correct?
God willing. Absolutely.
Right. Absolutely. I'll be back on Saturday with Rob Motti. So thanks for being with us. Sixers 105-103. They are now 3-0, and they'll host the Minnesota Timberwolves, a game you can listen to right here on Wednesday. He's Joe Torty. I'm D. Lynam. Thanks for being with us here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.